Hello, and welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will, and this is the internet's most thrustful music podcast. On the show this week, I'm joined by James.
Hi.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this week's episode, we're reviewing the new album by Abibio Sound Machine. We've got the upcoming releases you need to know about, but first, the news. James, what have you got for us this week?
Just weird talking about the new story after that intro, but... I don't have the greatest news this week, but I think it's important to talk about it. Steve Albini dies age 61 from a heart attack. If you don't know, he's a renowned producer for many artists, most notably probably for Nirvana, the Pixies. But yeah, if you look at the wiki for his discography and the stuff he's worked on, it is massive. There's a lot of rock and punk records to his name, but there is more as well. He was also the front man of Shellac and Big Black. But he's also known for other things like speaking out about bad practices in the music industry, bad practices that would harm artists. And yeah, he just called out things that weren't doing the music industry any good. He also didn't take any royalties from the music produced on. He would just take like one-time payments for the time he was in the studio with the artist, which is I think is really cool. And he also ensured that the artist would get the most out of him. He would make sure that their sessions were planned out well. So, yeah, every minute, every second was put to use. And he had a good kind of like outlook as well. Like he wouldn't just sit there looking at the mixing desk the whole session. He would do other things so he could get different perspectives of the music. In an interview last year, with The Guardian, he said, "The recording part is the part that matters to me, that I'm making a document that records a piece of our culture, the life's work of the musicians that are hiring me. I take that part very seriously. I want the music to outlive us all, outlive all of us," which I just think is a great quote, and it just highlights what the kind of guy he was. So yeah, it's sad news, but... I think the music that he helped produce and create does live on, and I think you'll hear a piece of him in that.
Yeah, just scrolling through his like production credits. I mean, obviously there are classic albums like you mentioned, Pixies, Surferosa, but also like really like huge. Awesome bands like Slint, he's produced for Godspeed You, Black Emperor. It seems like, I mean, just looking through, with most bands, he's only really worked with them on one record, like maybe a few at once, and then he doesn't really come back to it, which I think is an interesting way of working, of like not just sticking with an artist who you've got this like established relationship mm-hmm. with, always wanting to do something new. I mean, looking at his more recent credits, I mean, it's not really recent anymore, but Cloud Nothings, Attack on Memory, like, was a huge album, it was awesome. He did one of the more recent Metz albums, which Metz are great. So yeah, it seems like he's, like, still even, like, way into his career, was still, like, pushing for new artists and to find new interesting stuff to work on. And yeah, it just seems like the kind of creative that you want out there in the industry, working in the background and pushing for new interesting acts.
Yeah, I mean, just scrolling through his credits, it'll take you a while. Like this, it's prolific, which is a testament to his work ethic, but also to the respect that artists had for him in terms of so many wanting him to collaborate on those pieces. And yeah, like you've both said, there's such a range here, like everything from like I've just spotted Mogwai, My Father, My King, which slaps, by the way. Just side note. But then he's also got like Flogging Molly and like just it's such a range, which is incredible. I feel like quite often you hear of, I guess, producers or musicians, audio engineers, you know, whoever, and they have like such a distinct style that it almost colours kind of everyone that they work with. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like the range here demonstrates that he was able to kind of turn his hand to lots of different sounds and really pull out the best of the artists whilst bringing himself to the project, which is incredible. And I'm imagining will be a real loss to the industry.
Yeah, it must be hard to kind of put yourself in the back seat and kind of like make sure you think it works overall, but also not take over the project and make it sound like you. And like you say, yeah, he's done so many different stuff and worked with so many artists, and like loads of these are great albums and lots of them I haven't heard, but it's not like there's a house sound, you know. And I think in particular I'm thinking about like kind of people talking about the recent Taylor Swift album and her working with Jack Antonoff a lot, and how like it's kind of very much his sound imparted over a lot of this. And you know, maybe to some extent that's her decision as well, but you know, it comparing it to that, this seems like, you know, a really fantastic discography of like letting the artists be the artists and just getting the best you possibly can from them without putting yourself into it quite so much. Okay, let's get on to our review for this week. We're reviewing Pull the Rope by Abibio Sound Machine, released on the 3rd of May 2024 on Merge Records. It's the band's fifth studio album. On the album's Bandcamp page, it says, quote, "Pull the Rope casts the Eno Williams and Max Grunhard-led outfit in a new light. The hope, joy, and sexiness of their music remains, but further honing the edge of their acclaimed 2022 album Electricity, the connection they aim to foster has shifted venues from the sunny buoyancy of a sunlit festival to the sweat-soaked all-night dance club. The atmosphere has changed, but you're still having the time of your life." So that's what they think about the album. What did we think? James, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. I thought this album was exciting, groovy, and powerful. Listeners may know already that I enjoyed the previous album, Electricity, and I definitely still do. But I think this record does well to be a follow on from that. I haven't completely made my decision on which I would prefer, but I do really think this record is really great. It has all of those components that I fell in love with in the previous album. It has those wonderful vocals from Eno Williams, which blend that Abibio language with English really well. But it still sounds strong. It sounds powerful and very rhythmic. And I think that's like a big part of the vocals, actually. It's not just the lyrics. It is the rhythm of them. The rhythm, the repetition, and just how you play with vocals other than lyrics. And I think I need to do more research into the lyrics, really, because I think a lot of the bigger meanings are hidden away in that traditional Nigerian language, which I don't understand, surprisingly. Not saying that the English wasn't like bad. It was just, it wasn't super in depth, but it was good still. I think the instrumentation was also on par. The percussion is the percussion is a massive, massive part of the album and their sound. And it was really enjoyable in this record. The horns are kind of perfectly woven into that as well. And the synths are really cool as well. They just come together and they play off each other. And you can kind of hear the rapport between the band members. The album overall had like this massive energy, which I loved, but it did also have those moments which had, well, those cool down moments where it became a bit more like emotional, I guess you could say, or more serious. And I think they were good. I think selfishly I did enjoy those upbeat moments a bit more, and I'm not sure if a whole album of that is sustainable or good in general, but I mean, I really enjoyed it. I love those bits so much that I probably would have a whole album of that. But yeah, those it was nice to hear those more mellow moments. Yeah. I did also find that this album was possibly better on speakers. I feel like it needed that kind of air, that room to breathe almost. I don't know. I found like sometimes the bass sounded a bit like limited or something in my headphones. But that might vary from speaker to speaker. But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed this album. It's a really fun album. It's funky, it's groovy, it makes you want to move, and it just does what it aims to do.
Elle, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. It definitely makes you want to move. It's, yeah, got a real kind of uplifting energy to I'd say kind of most of it. There are those kind of slower tracks. I think even a couple of the slower tracks still feel uplifting, just in a kind of different way. And I think the record as a whole, yeah, it definitely makes you want to move. And I do agree as well. I think it possibly works better from a speaker. I think partly from kind of allowing the kind of bass to come through and all of that. But also I think it just lends itself to that kind of energy where you have it on the speaker and then you have the freedom to move and you're sharing the sound. Like that feels very much like the core of the album. It's definitely one that I would love to hear live. I think that would just kind of imbue it with even more of that energy, and I think it would kind of really thrive in a live setting. I think it lends itself to like group listening movement experience. It's a lot of words. Hopefully that kind of made sense. But yeah, really, really loved it. Like you said, James, as well, the vocals are just gorgeous. There's a really nice kind of variation in the way that kind of lines are delivered, particularly in the contrast between those more upbeat songs and the kind of slower songs. And I liked that. I liked that the kind of vocals used as part of the instrumentation as well, rather than just like a tool through which the lyrics are kind of revealed, which, yeah, I really enjoyed. I also, yeah, I didn't have time to kind of look into whether there's any translation or anything available. I mean, obviously there are some bits in English, but yeah, I don't know any Abibio, so that went completely over my head. But I don't think you necessarily need to, because the vocals are imbued with such kind of depth and emotion anyway, and the kind of sound of the whole record is so gorgeous that I don't think you're not having a kind of lesser experience by not knowing kind of what those lyrics are saying. I mean, I'm saying this, maybe I'll at some point look up the lyrics and be like, wow, a whole new thing has been revealed to me. But from this kind of last week of listening, I didn't find that, and I found it was just really lovely. And I always enjoy when there's that kind of native tongue is included in songs, or even just kind of a variety of languages within songs, within an album. I just think it adds like an additional layer and an additional kind of viewpoint, because you have languages are so tied to perception and emotion and things like that, that I've always found it really interesting when there's a combination of languages on a record. I think it just adds just another little something, which I really enjoy, even if I only speak and understand English. I still like it. But yeah, really, really loved that. And yeah, the sound as well is lovely. It's got, it had some kind of like retro influences. I picked up some like kind of 80s vibes at some point, some kind of 90s vibes, which I really liked that they were kind of pulling from different eras, but it still feels very current and very them, which is, yeah, I like when something is referential like that. And yeah, I think, yeah, like, I think I slightly disagree with you, James, in that I enjoyed the combination of those slower and upbeat ones as a kind of combination across the whole record. I thought it worked really well, and the balance for me hit just right. But then I do like a slower, perhaps slightly, I guess, more emotional in like a sadder way kind of track. And I think that they had a really good balance across the whole album. What I will also say is that it's been really sunny this past week, and this album has lent itself to sunshine. I know it's kind of perhaps not as sunshiny as like Electricity, but it still feels sunshiny. That it just does. Anyway, listen to it in sunshine. Yeah, I just really liked this one, and it's just really uplifting. If you're looking for a mood boost, this is it.
Yeah, I agree that this would be great live. And I think I also agree that there's something about the experience of listening on speakers and having the kind of more physical aspect of kind of being hit with the sound, particularly with a lot of the like enormous synth basses that get thrown in that just like, you know, it's like three octaves stacked of sawtooths, like just sound massive. And yeah, I think across the whole album, as their stuff normally is, the synth sounds are amazing. And, you know, none of it's like massively innovative in terms of what the synths are doing, but they're just like tuned to perfection, like picking from vintage sounds sometimes, choosing more modern sounds at the right times. I think it comes together really well. I think it doesn't have the intensity of Electricity for me. And also, I think, and part of the issue is I read the Bandcamp description before I listened to the record in full. I don't think it really lived up to the promise that they were saying of making it, taking like their sound in more of a club direction for me. Like, I think, Elle, like you're saying, it feels still like a summery synth pop album. It doesn't feel, for the most part, like we're taking that sound and then doing like the club thing with it, which obviously it's a kind of expectations thing, but that for me didn't quite like work as well as it could have. I think the other thing is that the opening track is my favorite by quite a way on this album, which makes the whole rest of the album feel a bit like damped down and less exciting, because I think that opening title track hits so hard that then the rest of it feels like, oh, and now we're going into some synth pop stuff, and it's good. I mean, it's great, like really well written songs, and it's really nice, but I just felt like I wanted them to maybe go into some of those other areas, but that's obviously not where they wanted to go. So yeah, on a personal level, it felt maybe a bit disappointing, but it is actually a really good album. It's just that, you know, because of the circumstances and because of kind of my musical tastes, I kind of wanted them to push into those directions that we can get into in a bit, but they just didn't go that way. They wanted to do, I guess, something else for the kind of broader scope of the album.
Yeah, that title track really gets you pumping for the album, I think. It gets you warmed up. And I think I agree, like, it's definitely up there with the best songs on the record. I really enjoyed how the components started. Like, they slowly came in, like, one by one. And that's kind of related to the warming up to the album part of it. And yeah, you hear the percussion and you're like, yeah, this is what I want from them. It does have a great bass guitar tone, which might just be a double bass, because it sounds like a double bass. But yeah, I just love how these things slowly come in. And I'm just going to go back to the percussion, because the percussion is just great.
Yeah, I agree. This was, I don't know if it is strictly my favorite on the record, but it's definitely up there, if not tied for favorite. And yeah, I think maybe I didn't go in with the same expectations as you were. Like, I mean, I hadn't read Bandcamp description, so I didn't really know kind of what direction they were going to go in with this one. And I still really enjoyed it. So I think I wasn't coloured by that in the same way. But yeah, I do agree there is something to be said with the first track being so strong that they almost set themselves up for a little bit of a downward spiral from there. And that's not, I feel like if I'd listened to some of the other tracks, like independently of that, I'd still be like, wow, this is fantastic. I love this. But I think because All the Rope is so strong, you do kind of lose out a little bit. I think I got that more on re-listens because I was remembering and re-listening to how good the opening track is. Whereas on the first listen, I was like, God, this has really drawn me in. And I was kind of excited to see where the rest of the album went. And so I think it was more then on re-listens, I was like, oh, I want to get back to the opener though, because it bangs. But it, yeah, it is a phenomenal track in and of itself. And it's difficult because I also think it works really well opening the album. So I don't want them to like move it to the end, like save the best to last. I don't think that would kind of flow in the right way with the rest of the record. But it, yeah, it's a really good one. And that, yeah, that bass and the percussion, it's just, oh, within like a couple of bars, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be dancing to this one. It's very fun.
Yeah. And I think the kind of more dance punk influences of it made me really into this one, where it's got that kind of more straight drum beat with the percussion in there to flesh it out that makes me think of like Talking Heads. And then you got these like kind of ridiculous boisterous synths coming in throughout, kind of make me think like kind of the new rave stuff from the noughties. And then just like the song structure as well made me think of like a band like LCD Sound System, where it was like had that slow build and kind of smaller crescendos and bigger moments where it was building up as well that I really liked. And I think more than anything, that's kind of what I wanted across the rest of the album. Like, I wanted a bit more of that kind of tension and release, and it felt maybe a bit more like, just because of that more synth pop direction, it felt a bit less like, it had less of that tension in there. But yeah, this song's so good. I love the vocal hook. It's just got this, like, it makes you want to sing along with it, right? That it's just so catchy and it comes back a lot. And yeah, all of the elements, I think, come together really well. They did it in a few places, I think, kind of go in the more dance music zone. I think the following track, Got to Be Who You Are, obviously it has that very kind of acid house feel to it with the bass line and everything. But that was one where I felt like the hook maybe didn't land quite so hard, and I thought maybe wasn't as strong as some of the other songs. And then the final track as well very much brings in the techno influence with that huge kick drum going through and the toms kind of driving the rhythm as well. And then just like the timbre of the synths feels very like kind of sweaty club techno type stuff. And even in the breakdown, they have like the reverbed claps and the like noise riser coming through, and I think that song, like that song, matches the description in a way that the rest of the album doesn't hugely. I just really enjoyed that kind of change up into a more like dance orientated sound, because they've not gone quite so much in that direction before, where they've been more focused on kind of the arena synth poppy stuff.
Yeah, I actually want to pick out the vocals on those two tracks, actually. Yeah, track two, Not to Be Who You Are. It starts out with some like staccato lyrics, which you get quite frequently throughout the album, but then she goes into more of her singy vocal lines rather than like that staccato nature, which I thought were warm and lovely. And then on that last track as well, Dance in the Rain, the vocals felt quite different from the rest of the album. I thought they felt more alluring. I did start to put like seductive and flirtatious, but I thought no, I think alluring is a better word for it. But I still think it's probably not the best word. And then you do get that bridgy part which the words essentially and eventually are sung on, sung on the end of each line. Just how they're sung, it just hits the spot. It's really rhythmic and it just works.
Yeah, the vocals across the whole record are impeccable, and I think kind of almost like Tabitha Simpson being kind of so integral to the whole album. And yeah, like you've both said, they kind of differ from track to track, which is, yeah, firstly just incredible from a kind of talent point of view, like kind of being able to manipulate the vocals like that is amazing, but also kind of really allows the songs to be fully realized as pieces themselves. And one of my favorite tracks on the album, which is kind of like a bit of a flip, is Touch the Ceiling, which is one of the slower ones, but I love this partly because the vocals are just gorgeous throughout it. They kind of start and they're very kind of arresting, and then this harmony comes in with the lyric "I need you now," and it's just almost like slightly haunting, but it's got this real rhythmic beat under it which kind of drives the song forward. And I just found myself kind of almost like vaguely moved by it. I was like, oh god, like this is really, really gorgeous. I think also it's got some like 80s pop vibe to it, which as a huge fan of 80s pop, that was always going to sway me. But it's, yeah, it again comes back to that vocal is just incredible. Like her delivery is stunning.
Yeah, and in Touch the Ceiling, you get the sampled "I" and "you," just like, yeah. And I thought that was, it's nice that they're using the vocals to their advantage as well as just the synths.
Yeah, and there's a similar thing on Dance in the Rain as well in the chorus, where there's like pitched up, well, I don't know if they're pitched up or if they're just really high vocals that like support the main melody. And it takes what would have been an amazing chorus anyway and elevates it to be even better. And yeah, Touch the Ceiling is, I think, if you take the vocals away, it's quite a straightforward, like you say, 80s style pop song. And the vocals really like elevated into something special.
I want to touch on Mama Say, especially the intro for that, because you begin the song with like no like tuned instruments really. I think you might be able to argue the percussion was slightly tuned, even though there's hardly any, but you do just have the vocals, which I guess are technically tuned, but you don't feel any sense of key at all, or at least I don't, until the rest of the instruments come in. And it just surprises me every time when I listen to that track, like, oh, this is the key we're in. Not in a bad way, but just in a way that it could have been major, it could have been minor, it could have been mixolydian, it could have been whatever. And yeah, they just chose that. And I thought it was a nice surprise, and it just worked every time I listened to the song. And the lead synth in that track felt nostalgic, but not in the way, not like, I shouldn't feel nostalgic to that era, but it felt nostalgic. And it was simple. It's been done before, but it's effective, and it's effective in the way that it blends with their sound, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I really like the way that the lead synth and the kind of bassy sawtooth sound meshed in the chorus of that song, where like there's like the big sound underneath and then the top one's playing like a more complex line, but they kind of slot together in a nice way. And yeah, the opening, I really liked how it built slowly with the drums at first and then kind of bringing in the synth part slowly in it. I don't know exactly why, but it made me think of Hot Chip, which obviously they produced their last record, but there was something about that, of how it was being like built up, that felt like their way of kind of doing song structures.
Yeah, this one is fantastic. And yeah, it's that build that I think really, it kind of lifts the song, because you get this kind of dynamic movement where, yeah, when the synth comes in and all of that kind of stuff, just lends itself to the whole record being one that you want to move to, where you feel like you could be really kind of moving and getting quicker and quicker. There's a real kind of energy to it that's just, yeah, addictive. Especially because that kind of synth, when it does come in, is so addictive. Like, I feel like it was in like a little earworm in my head, and I kept coming back to that. And it's, again, just works brilliantly with the vocals. I feel like across the whole thing, every song, I could just be like, yeah, the vocals, fantastic. Just really, yeah, not only kind of on their own are just like incredible vocals, but lend so much to each track. Like you said, Will, kind of lifting Touch the Ceiling out of just being 80s pop, which, you know, I'm always going to like. I like 80s pop, but it, the vocals do so much on this record, and it's incredible.
Yeah, the other track I want to point out for just a great synth sound is Them Say, which I don't know if there's like a thematic link between that and Mama Say. I can suss one out in particular, but it feels like there maybe there should be. but the opening like synth sound, that rising arpeggio, just has this wonderful timbre to it. And again, it's nothing particularly like massively out there. They're not doing something crazy with synthesis, but it's just a really great like sound with a nice filter envelope on it, and the filter sounds great, and like what they're doing with it just gives this whole, the whole song, this like bubbling forwards feeling to it.
Not to sound like a broken record, but the harmonies, when it's just the vocals and the harmonies, it just, it has a lovely tone to it. And then there's just something about the line where she sings "We are we ye," really nice, somewhat like touching. Maybe that's just me, but I really enjoyed that line there.
Again, this one is just another great track. And this one as well is one that I really enjoyed the lyrics of. It has the lyrics, couldn't help but notice steps upon the path, streets are full of faces, family from the past, which I just really liked as a kind of little lyric. And especially the idea of family from the past, because you could take it as, you know, like literal like ancestors, like family from the past, but also the idea of people who were once family to you and perhaps now aren't, whether that be a kind of relation or otherwise definition of family. And yeah, that kind of idea, I think there's a real kind of poignance to that idea, but it's delivered in quite a subtle way, where you're kind of allowed to remunerate on it in your mind. Which is, yeah, it's one that, again, I feel like I got more out of as I came back to it on re-listens.
I guess the final main track I want to touch on is Political Incorrect, which for me just felt like a wonderful change of pace to a lot of the rest of the album, where it's very funk influenced with the kind of big round drum sounds. And I mean, it's good on other parts of the record, but the bass tone here is, I think, fantastic. Just the sound of it. Like, it's got this lovely, like, kind of smooth high end to it when it's playing the high notes. Yeah, I thought that was great.
There's a lot of repetition in this track, which, repetition to the point where I feel like I shouldn't like it, but I really do like it. And I think the theme does help as well. Well, it feels like talking about social media, how it's affected us as a human population, and then, yeah, talking about blame and not looking at yourself. That theme, and then the vocals themselves, the sound of them, put them together, it's a success.
Yeah, this one, the repetition, I feel like if the track was a lot longer, I'd get frustrated by it, but the length it is and the way that there's still variety within it, I really enjoy it. And it then just becomes one that, again, I really want to like dance to and move to. And there's something quite joyous about just, you know, really wanting to groove to them singing about like anti-social media vibes, which is just huge amounts of fun. But yeah, it's really well produced, and I think it's yeah, a testament to that production that they can take something that does feel quite repetitive and not have it feel irritating and actually feel still very fresh, even on re-listens. I didn't get bored of it at any point. And I also really liked it. Its kind of placement within the album, kind of pretty much in the middle, just like, I felt like that sat really well amidst the other tracks. And yeah, kind of really, yeah, it was just like another example of them doing something slightly different track to track, but still managing to nail it each time.
Okay, let's wrap up our review by ranking the album. As always, the current album rankings are down in the description. Where would we like to put Pull the Rope by Abibio Sound Machine?
I actually have an exact number for this week. I didn't like enjoy it as much as our last week's album, I think was Halogenics with Passions. But I think it's going just underneath there, so above Hernando Negro. Number 5.
I see zero hesitation from you there, James. That was really impressive. I feel like I'm going to deliberate a little bit. I feel like it's definitely a similar area for me. I'm wondering if I preferred it to Phaser, if I'm putting it slightly below. I think I definitely preferred it to Bad Bad Hats. No, do you know what? I'm going to agree with you, James. I'm going to put it at number 5.
Don't know why I'm surprised.
Well, then it doesn't hugely matter what I think.
we don't care about your opinion, Will.
But I don't know. Personally, I'd put it probably somewhere in that 6 to 10 range. I think above Vacations, I think it's much more consistent. And as much as I personally like that album, this one is better written and I think better produced and just works more. Pillow Queens, obviously, that wouldn't be where I'd put it, so I think this is better. Bad Bad Hats, I'll be honest, I'm struggling to remember exactly. I know I really liked it, but I haven't really listened to it since we reviewed it, so it's quite hard to compare to. So somewhere in there is where I would have put it.
What I will say for Vacations is that it's slipping down the list, but I have been listening, I've re-listened to it a lot, particularly whilst it's been sunny. Not that I feel like I'd necessarily move it up the list, but just on a re-listen factor, it's doing numbers for me.
We definitely need another list for your sunny list.
Sunshine list, yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't think it really deserves to be any higher up the list, but it is probably, if we're taking individual songs, the album I've listened to the most. Other albums like Mount Kimby's one, I've listened to individual songs from that a lot. Similar with Golfer as well. Albums not very high up the list because as an album, maybe they don't work so well. But the moment you put them in the right context and you don't worry about having to listen to the whole thing, suddenly, it's a different story, isn't it?
That being said, I'm still loving K.E. Kirby. So,
yeah, it's a great album.
It's fantastic.
Right, upcoming releases this week. There's loads of stuff coming out that you might be interested in, so let's try and get through it reasonably quickly. Of Montreal are releasing a new album. It's called Lady on the Cusp. If you don't know them, they're kind of like a weird art pop indie band. They've been around since the 2000s, I think, so they've been doing this for a long time. I have no idea what this one's going to be like, so feel free to check it out. Next up, Cage the Elephant are releasing a new album called Neon Pill. It's been a long time since their last one. It was 2016 or something, wasn't it?
Looks like 2019.
2019.
Social cues.
Social cues. I don't remember hugely.
Oh, this one. I never listened to this, so yeah. I completely forgot it existed.
I'd say Tell Me I'm Pretty, which was 2015.
Right, that's the one everyone else remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that last one was bad or if I just didn't bother with it. But yeah, they do throwback 60s guitar pop type stuff. So if that sounds of interest, maybe check them out. The rapper Rhapsody is releasing a new album called Please Don't Cry. Rhapsody's done some great stuff, but again, an artist that I've listened to an album from a long time ago and then haven't really listened to much of since. So maybe we'll check that out. If you want more synth pop, Joywave are releasing a new album this week called Permanent Pleasure. Beth Gibbons, who you might know as the lead singer from Portishead, is releasing her debut solo album. It's called Lives Outgrown. Will be interesting to see what she's doing with that. Techno producer K-Lone is releasing an EP. It's called Catching Wild Part 1. Presumably there will be other parts to this EP series, but K-Lone's released some really good, like, tropical style, like, techno and house music in the past. So if you want something that's good for sunny weather, go and check out some of his previous stuff. Punk band One Step Closer are releasing a new album called All You Embrace. It's coming out on Run for Cover Records, who release lots of great kind of indie rock and punk music. So that one could be good. And their previous stuff's been, I think, all right, I would say, like, pretty good hardcore punk. And finally, Panoram is releasing a new album called Great Times. I don't know Panoram, but it's being released on Balmat, who I want to mention it are like a really good label if you're looking for ambient stuff. And their album arts all like fit into this same style, which I think is always interesting when labels do that, because it almost takes some of the personality away from the artists, but keeps the label a bit more like present in that, which is something that kind of happens in the singles world in dance music, but not so much in albums. But yeah, most of their releases are like good to great ambient albums, so that could be one to check out. That's it for upcoming releases. That's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Thank you.
Yes.
If you like the show, new episodes come out every Monday, but if you're likely to forget, you can subscribe on your podcast service of choice and consider turning on notifications as well. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at unmutedunmastered@gmail.com. I can now announce that the album for next week is Poetry by Dead. So you liked it, huh, James?
Yeah.
That's real smooth.
I need to catch up on my notes. Where... Give me a second.
This is Will's direct approach based off the hit film Moneyball.
Sorry, James, this isn't good enough. You're being transferred to the New York Knicks.
Oh, okay. Where was I?